Natural Resources for Wednesday, May 2nd, 2007. Open a public hearing on House Bill 5022, the Department of Environmental Quality Budget Bill, and House Bill 5023, the Department of Environmental Quality Fee Ratification Bill. Today, committee, we have public testimony only. Mr. Siebert will start off, and then we will go to Senators Courtney and Walker.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I would just point out that you have a lot of information at your place, the first of which is a memo from the department with some answers to questions from yesterday on the grants, and also a copy of the administrative or the executive summary of the administrative process review, and also a copy of a strategy for monitoring Oregon's waters, and then a number of packets of letters relating to the DEQ budget, and you'll see a couple packets, one I received, one the department received, and you have those all in front of you.
Okay. Senator Courtney and Senator Walker. Good morning, Mr. President. If you would identify yourself for the record and begin your testimony at your leisure.
He wants me to go first.
Okay.
He takes orders from me sometimes. It's kind of fun. Senator Walker, I am Vicki Walker from Senate District 7, Eugene. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we're delighted to be here this morning. Senator Courtney actually and I share several mutual interests, much to his surprise sometimes. And we are here talking to you about the DEQ budget because, quite frankly, this has been one of the most underfunded agencies in over a decade, and it's not appropriate for Oregonians. Oregonians care about clean air and clean water and a whole lot of other things, but those are two basic rights that every Oregonian deserves. You will see several policy option packages, many of which have been cut by the co-chairs, so it's, of course, your job to reconfigure all that as you see fit. But the toxic water monitoring package actually has been cut pretty significantly. It was at 1.8, and it's now down to 1 million. You'll have a bill coming to you. We passed it out of Senator Wachian's committee. I can't remember what week it was. This week, last week, Senate Bill 737. And it's a toxics pollution reduction program, monitoring output of water and where the sources of toxins are coming from. I believe, we all believe, that this meshes quite nicely with the monitoring program that DEQ wants to do on the Willamette. Theirs is specifically targeted to the Willamette in the beginning because that's all there's enough money for. Our program, 737, that we hope to talk to you about later, is a statewide program. The municipalities and special districts have stepped up to the plate and want to assess a fee upon themselves to help with this program because we're all very interested in making sure that we have clean water to drink. I also wanted to mention to you that you'll have Senate Bill 338, and I hope to talk to you about that. That went out a couple of weeks ago, the Heat Smart Bill, so that we can improve our air quality, help provide a grant program for folks to replace their old uncertified wood stoves that put out a tremendous amount of pollutants into our air. So those are just a couple of examples of things that we would like you to look at when you're rearranging the program. What's unfortunate is this department has been so underfunded, it's hard to figure out what's the most important place to start. Can you start with a little bit here and a little bit there? I know there have been some other things targeted in the co-chair's budget that I think can be looked at within this budget. So I'm going to leave it in your hands. I'll have some individual conversations with you as well. But this is really quite a breakthrough, what we've been able to do with Senate Bill 737 to bring all of the interests together outside of industry. Industry continues to puzzle me. They puzzle me pretty significantly because they don't think they're a problem, and they're all supportive of the monitoring program, but as you well know, the monitoring program has been underfunded, so it's easy to support something that's underfunded. So I still have issues with why industry continues to sit on the outside, looking in and complaining about all of these attacks on what they put in our water and our air. But be that as it may, we'll come around a different way and take care of it. So I'm just here encouraging you to really support this budget and and give Oregonians what we all have a basic right to, which is clean air and clean water. Thank you.
Senator Walker. Senator Courtney.
Chair Devlin, Chair Nelson, Representative Dingfellow, the Vice Chair, Representative Gerard. My name is Peter Courtney, and I'm a state senator. I live at 2925 Island View Drive North in Salem, 97303. Senator Walker ordered me to come here today, and that's okay, because if she hadn't, I probably wouldn't. I do not like coming for Ways and Means for anything. I don't even like being in this room, and it's just my style. And
we have a famous quote from you in one of our
that's true. And I was supposed to appear right here for the legislative administration budget, and I wouldn't do that except for my chief of staff, Connie Seeley, has ordered me to do that. So, but I do want to say that water is a big deal for Peter. Now, you're all going to say, because you've got a conflict of interest because you live on the Willamette River. The truth is, as a little boy, something happened to me in water. I do not understand and never will understand why human nature has to crap in Mother Nature when it comes to water. I've never understood it, never will. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. And it's fascinating to me how the power of water, in the sense that all the third world countries, if you look at them, the one thing they struggle the most with, particularly regarding children, because we lose a child every 8 seconds because of water-related diseases. Now, it's not just true in Oregon, I understand that, and I don't want to be melodramatic, but water and its power and its effect on health is beyond description. And so the DEQ budget, that goes without saying, and this is going to be used against me, I know, because I'm starting to see how we're going to get out of here in terms of putting these budgets together. So I know that anything I say here is not only going to be used against me by everybody looking at me here, but by others. And I'll have to live with that. But this budget needs to be put back together and made right. And this, what I call the Walker Zone thing, I feel very strongly about. Now, I warned her, I didn't even know she was working on this thing. And when I found out about it, I said, do you have the ability to leave this alone? Because I've had my heart broken over this issue of zone. All I'll say is I call it the Walker Zone. I'm not going to use the other phrase that's been used to describe it, because it's just messed me up. But the beauty of it, as I understand it, is all the parties that are affected agree with this particular piece of legislation, 737. I'm not going to get into industry. I'm just not going to do that. They're not on the table. But I understand there's an amount of money that needs to implement 737, or we wouldn't be here. And to be frank with you, I called together a meeting in my office last Friday regarding some of the major players to make sure we were all on the same page. So while I was sort of saying I'm here because Senator Walker told me to be here, I'm also here of my own free will. I feel very strongly about clean water. That should be no secret. I destroyed and ruined some of the rugs in this building years ago when I held a press conference, and I dumped out on all the rugs the crap that I got out of the Willamette River, as well as other things. And now it's a different world. That rug has long been replaced. But I would urge you, to the extent you can, to really take a serious look at water quality in our state, this budget, as well as 737 attempt to address that. So thank you very much, Chair. For letting me even come here today. I feel very nervous being before you and the members of this subcommittee, but I have to give Senator Walker incredible credit. How she's gotten this thing this far, I don't know. I don't want to know. But the fact is, it is here. I think it has tremendous merit, and I hope you will seriously consider it, both as Democrats and Republicans, as well as House and Senate members. Thank you, Chair Devlin and members of the committee, for allowing me to come here and having a little say.
Thank you, Senator Courtney and Senator Walker. I will look forward to both of your assistance in making this a reasonably adequate
See,
budget.
See, it's already started.
Thank you, both.
Mr. Chair, members yes. of the committee, we're already working on it, and he doesn't want to ask how we got here, and it's just plain hard work and making people sit down at the table and stop arguing and fighting about things that we can't solve and looking at what we can solve, and I think we've done that. I'm just a pretty persuasive individual, and my husband has learned that, and after 32 years of marriage, he's still hanging in there, so I'm proud of it.
Yes, Representative Dingfelter.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I would just like to thank the senators for being here today to support DEQ's budget, and I especially want to thank Senator Walker as somebody who's worked on water issues for over 20 years and know that they can be quite controversial. I appreciate your leadership on this very important issue.
Thank you both.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just want to thank Senator Courtney for being here this early.
Would you please inform the good Senator Rod that I have already attended a committee meeting which started at 7:30 this morning, and I'm just breaking for lunch as I speak to you today. So I don't need, you know what I mean?
Well, Senator Courtney, we know you're a 24/7.
That's right.
Senator. So. Thank you very much. We have a couple of things to accommodate here because of other committees occurring. What we'll do is try to limit people to 2 to 3 minutes in testimony, and I will start off with Jill Ahrens from the Columbia River Gorge Commission and David Moskowitz. If David's here.
I don't think David's here. I don't see him.
He was here a moment ago.
Back in the back.
Oh. trying to make his way through the maze.
Please proceed.
Chair Devlin, Vice Chair Dean Felder, and members of the committee. My name is Jill Ahrens. I'm the Executive Director of the Columbia River Gorge Commission. My comments today are in support of the Governor's recommended budget for DEQ. Although there's only one policy option package listing the gorge, all four of the air quality packages do affect the National Scenic Area. Three areas of impact are the health risks from toxic air pollution, monitoring air quality data, and performance tracking of mitigation programs, and also future visibility programs for the gorge. There is an increased incident of respiratory conditions requiring visits to doctor's offices and hospitals when air quality is bad. In the Columbia Gorge, and as in other places in Oregon, we have air inversions many days in the year, which decrease our air quality. High health care costs are astronomical, and we need the air quality alerts to continue to be timely and available to the public. Particulate matter affecting visibility is extremely important to the gorge, the residents, the commission, and visitors. It is difficult to enjoy scenic beauty if your visibility is impaired. Tourism is a significant industry within the National Scenic Area, and we depend upon clean resources and healthy plant life and undisturbed rock images in order to maintain this industry. Some of the same particles that affect visibility, such as nitrates and sulfates, also cause health risks. If DEQ has continued funding for future monitoring and mitigation programs, there will be a benefit not only to visibility but also to the health issues. DEQ has done a lot of work on diesel emission reductions, and I urge that to continue. The diesel exhaust is responsible for a significant proportion of cancer risk from air pollution. Diesel exhaust contains fine particulates, benzene, formaldehyde, nitrogen and sulfur oxides, arsenic, cadmium, dioxin, mercury, and 40 other cancer-causing substances. There has been a successful and productive collaborative effort to develop air quality strategies in the gorge. Oregon DEQ, Southwest Clean Air Agency, and Washington's DOE have been working together for 6 years with a scientific data report and strategy proposal scheduled for later this year. Governors Kulongoski and Gregoire support these ongoing efforts of the bi-state group. DEQ has been the acknowledged leader of this, and without their funding to continue this bi-state project, the accomplishments will be either diminished or vanish. I respectfully urge you to fund DEQ at the governor's recommended level. The agency's funding has been cut, their workload increases, and Oregonians depend on their services. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Ahrens. Okay, Mr. Moskowitz, and could you limit your testimony to 2 to 3 minutes and try to paraphrase any written testimony that you're going to present?
Certainly. Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is David Moskowitz, and I'm here today on behalf of Willamette Riverkeepers. Travis Williams, the executive director, would be here, but he's in a meeting in Eugene with DEQ staff working on water quality standards for the Willamette River today. DEQ has enormous responsibility to protect the public trust and the public's right for clean water and clean air. Willamette Riverkeepers has been working. Its mission is to protect and restore the Willamette River's water quality and habitat for residents of the Willamette Valley and anyone else who comes to enjoy this fine major river. There's three areas that I'll speak about, and it's in my written testimony, so I am going to paraphrase. But the ability of DEQ to review stormwater permits is critical, and we recommend that the level of funding be increased back to the general fund level. Secondly, the proposed toxic monitoring, which you heard about from the senators who spoke just previously, that about $800,000 back to the governor's recommended budget level of 1.8, we really believe that's essential not only to help implement the program under Senate Bill 737 should it pass, but just in general, toxic monitoring is a critical aspect of this. Thirdly, DEQ has a responsibility to review water quality standards every 3 years, and it's a critical function in upholding the Clean Water Act. Additional funding is needed for that basic function. I'd like to point out, just make a note of this. This is not necessarily on the budget, but the ability to address non-point source pollution continues to be a large black hole for the entire state, but particularly for the Willamette. And it's one of the issues that came up during 737 discussions, and that some of the dischargers felt as if they were not even responsible for many of the pollutants that are found in the Willamette River, and those are coming from non-point source. So it's coming from all of us. We're going to have to address that for both equity reasons and for health reasons in our watersheds. Clean water, which DEQ has the authority to protect, benefits Oregon's economy greatly, and it's why it needs to be well-funded. Oregon's economy in manufacturing relies on clean water, being able to withdraw clean water for production. And then the tourism and recreation sector is absolutely essential, and those are major drivers in the Oregon economy, not just in the Willamette River, but statewide. We appreciate the opportunity to testify. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Jeremiah Bauman. And Ivan Moskowitz, if he's here. And if you could please limit your testimony to 2 to 3 minutes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, Jeremiah Bauman with OSPIRG, the Oregon State Public Interest Research Group. I'll keep this very brief. I'm just going to talk about the programs that we feel are most important as this committee considers the budget for DEQ. A couple of programs that we feel need to be, where funding needs to be restored in order to maintain existing programs, and then a couple of the priorities among the new programs that have been proposed in the policy option packages. First, the air quality packages, the packages 110, 111, and 115 are critical to restore federal funds that have been lost over the years. They're critical not just because we want to maintain the same amount of money, but because they're important programmatic reasons for Oregon's air quality to keep these programs going. Specifically, I would point to Package 110 to meet federal air quality standards. as the science has evolved on air pollution, in particular particulate matter, this fine particulates that are in everything from diesel exhaust to wood stove emissions, the health effects have basically gotten worse. Lung conditions, even heart conditions, and all sorts of serious health effects. Accordingly, air quality standards have improved over time, and the department needs resources to monitor the air quality and to work on various community outreach programs to make sure we can protect air quality. Many parts of Oregon have problems with particulate pollution, especially as we realize that smaller amounts of that pollution can be more problematic. I'd also point to Package 111, the Air Toxics Program. Virtually every part of Oregon has air toxics levels that exceed health-based standards for air quality, and that's largely because the Northwest tends to get gasoline that has the highest levels of toxic components in it for a range of reasons having to do with the crude oil we get and the nature of the refineries and the way that federal regulations apply. There's not a whole lot we can do about federal regulations because they preempt Oregon from setting stricter standards for fuel, but DEQ has some excellent community outreach programs to help reduce diesel pollution and otherwise clean up toxic air contamination. The other category I would point to is actually two programs that were not in the governor's recommended budget, but that are critical existing core programs at DEQ. That's water quality standards and hazardous waste programs. Water quality standards are the underpinning and benchmark for everything we do with water quality. It's impossible for us to know whether we're making progress from either a fiscal or environmental point of view if we don't have the basic standards for how clean the water needs to be, so that program needs to be maintained. And then hazardous waste compliance, I would just simply say that hazardous waste is one of the main areas we've made progress in the last couple of decades. Dramatic reductions in the amount of hazardous waste we're putting into the environment. But if we start scaling back on making sure that we're continuing to manage and further reduce that hazardous waste, we'll be backtracking instead of continuing the good trajectory that we're on. And then, so those are the programs I think that are existing that should be a high priority for funding. Let me just point out two programs that are among the new proposals that I would point to as the highest priorities from Osprey's perspective. One is the watershed-based toxics monitoring. This fits with Senate Bill 737, the Toxic Pollution Prevention Program that Senators Courtney and Walker talked about, so I won't say a whole lot more than that, other than that I think there's a lot of overlap there and a way to get a lot of bang for our buck out of those programs to really reduce toxic discharges going into the waterways. And the final one is the Clean Diesel Program. We get both a major reduction in the public health threat from diesel pollution and also a reduction in global warming pollution through this smart, innovative program to help people who operate diesel machinery clean up their engines, engines that are already out there that we're not requiring people to replace, but by offering them incentives to replace and retrofit those engines. So thank you very much.
Chair Devlin, Vice Chair Dingfelder, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Ivan Molesky, and I am the conservation coordinator for the Oregon Chapter Sierra Club. We represent roughly 24,000 members in Oregon who have strong concerns for water and air quality in Oregon, and the ability of our state agencies like the DEQ to be able to effectively protect Oregon's quality of life. So we support the funding levels for both existing and new DEQ programs proposed by the governor, as well as, frankly, increases from the governor's level. We really believe that significant investments now in both existing and new programs will put Oregon on track to better protect the health of its citizens and the quality of life that really draws economic activity and tourism to the state. So just some specifics regarding water quality. As you're aware, the existence of toxic chemicals in Oregon's waterways is of significant concern to the public. Both in our door-to-door canvassing as well as polling we've conducted, we found that the water quality and source of industrial pollution and municipal pollution are really one of those top issues, not just in the Willamette but in River statewide, that Oregonians care about when it comes to the environment. So as a result, we strongly support the fully funding the water quality package number 121, as well as Senate Bill 737 and some of the ideas presented there. Senate Bill 737 would require the DEQ to use current data and develop a priority list of toxins of the most dangerous chemicals entering our waterways and produce a report that identifies strategies and almost creating a roadmap for where we can go in the future that allows permittees to be able to develop pollution prevention and reduction plans. And the water quality package, number 121, requires the development of, or would basically fund the development of, a web-based tool to provide information to the public that really currently isn't there. The public has no idea how to find out where sources of pollution are, what the threats are, and that's just critical, just a baseline, getting the basic data out there and identifying to the public what's happening in their public waterways is critical. So we actually feel that coupling the funding in the Water Toxics Program with Senate Bill 737 is a great way to move forward, and would urge you to fully fund, if not kind of go above and beyond the $1.8 million in order to kind of consider that as a larger statewide package on water quality. Coming to air quality very briefly, this is another major priority for the Sierra Club. I've had members from the Rogue Valley, from the Willamette Valley, from the Deschutes Basin parts east really talking to me about the need to for the state to step up and do a good job in protecting our air quality, whether it's from industrial sources or automobiles and diesel or even frankly forestry and ag sources. So we support the DEQ's air toxics packages number 111, 115, and 110. And I will say that specifically, failure to fund the number 115 on the Columbia Gorge air quality would essentially eliminate our existing air monitors in the Columbia River Gorge and leave this national scenic area, which is one of Oregon's, frankly, most visited sites for out-of-state folks coming to Oregon, and our ability to measure progress in reducing haze and addressing particular pollutants. So lastly, I will just add that in addition to these packages on air quality, we support a bill that you may see before you, Senate Bill 235A, which has been recently referred to the Ways and Means Committee. This bill allows the state to develop rules to curb ammonia and hydrogen sulfide, particularly in relation to large concentrated animal feeding operations. And as you may be aware, the ammonia gas and hydrogen sulfide rising off manure ponds from some of these operations, many of which are out of state, are a significant source of pollution. There's one operation alone in eastern Oregon which is directly related with 55,000 cows confined in a close area and open manure ponds, which has been directly linked to acid rain issues in the Columbia River Gorge. So, you know, without adequate air quality standards for concentrated animal feeding operations, it's not just about the environment. It's about neighbors who've oftentimes been the first folks there who are directly affected by the new factory farms coming in and suffer from the smell and potentially toxic levels of hydrogen sulfide and ammonia that affect their health, quality of life, and their future ability to farm. So thank you very much.
Thank you both. Sue Frant and John Ledger. And then next up will be excuse me, Dave Barrows and William Lambert. And again, if you could limit your testimony to 2 to 3 minutes, and if you have written testimony, please try to paraphrase it.
I'd be happy to. Chair Devlin and Vice Chair Dingfelder, I'm Sue Fratt with the American Lung Association of Oregon. And I'm here to request the restoration of the funding for DEQ's air quality management programs at the governor's recommended levels. The point I'd like to make to you today on behalf of the Lung Association is that when you can't breathe, nothing else matters. Think about it. The rest of your budget issues you're considering wouldn't matter because after 5 minutes of not breathing, you're gone. This is the fear of Oregonians with impaired lungs or lung disease such as emphysema, bronchitis, and asthma. Children are particularly vulnerable with their developing lungs. To paraphrase my written testimony, I am here to support the restoration of the funding for DEQ packages 110, 111, 115, and 119. We're requesting full funding at the governor's level with the exception of package 119, which we think addresses loan opportunities for businesses to help them retrofit diesel engines that they're currently working. And this is a hand up, not a hand out. And we would recommend that that you consider funding it above the governor's recommendation. Also, the cuts that are being considered by the co-chair's budget is the fact that it decreases the staffing at DEQ, and you can put in as much of the technical supports as you want, but if you do not have the sufficient staff to do the monitoring, make the assessments, we will have no way to judge the quality of our air. And to each individual of us sitting here, your air quality matters. So, again, thank you for considering our comments, and I'd be happy to answer questions.
Mr. Ledger.
Thank you. I'm John Ledger, Associated Oregon Industries. In short, to be brief, is we support giving them all the money that was cut and pretty much anything else they want and sending them home. Let's talk about revenue sources. We support a 20% increase in the fees on our smaller air pollution sources. We're willing to do that. We support that. We support a 24% increase. That was Bill 107 on the larger Title V sources, and that's a 24% increase on an already CPI'd fee. We support a 7% increase on water discharge fees. We support every fee that they have asked for here. So we believe the agency has suffered cuts because of general fund reductions over the years. And I remember one year when one of the more enterprising managers of DEQ actually did a pretty good analysis, workflow analysis, and voluntarily reduced staff and then got their budget cut for doing that. And so we're supportive of the budget. Industry now, general numbers, contributes roughly about 7% of the total water pollutant loading. You've seen about 1.2% of the mercury loading. On air, it's similar numbers. You heard on the air toxics. It's primarily automobiles. But we are by far the greatest payer of funding to the DEQ. And so we do step up, we do come up with the money, we implement the controls. We think that it says I have 1 minute left, okay. We do support statewide monitoring for toxics, because I think what we're doing is we're looking at something where there's just a lot of data lacking, and I think everyone agrees we need statewide monitoring, see what's out there, see if there are actual problems, what they are, and then you can start addressing them. Most of them are, frankly, are banned substances that people have not used in years. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ledger, we had testimony from Senator Walker this morning about the, I won't use the M word, but the...
The mixing zone?
Yes, the M word.
Betty Crocker.
Yes. And I have not been privy to those negotiations or been involved directly, but have seen the amendments that came out of the discussion. So I'm curious about what your position is on that and how that might affect DEQ's budget.
Representative Dingfelder, Chair, I would make two comments. One is, I don't think you should funnel money away from doing the statewide study, because I think that is absolutely critical that you know what the condition of the water is statewide. And I think that takes a lot of money. That establishes your baseline. 737 is an interesting bill. It does have some problems, and we're certainly willing to work with the cities or whoever would like to work with it. It is not neutral to industry. And it does establish that discharges from cities meet drinking water standards at end of pipe, which is a mixing zone. And it is a city mixing zone bill. And most businesses, you know, many businesses discharge into city systems. So it does affect industry. And industry's happy to step up and deal with issues, but it has to be, you have to see that there is a real problem there. And I think when you look at the list of PBTs of toxics, and I've done this, look at like the 15 that DEQ gave me, they were almost all banned, past banned substances except for one or two, one of which was mercury, which we're not part of. So this really does deal with banned substances, and I don't think it's a good use of money. I think you could do a lot better. The Heat Smart program is a classic case of really good use of money. That thing is going to result in much better air for not much money, and I think that is something that's worth doing.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Mills. Mr. Farrell's and Mr. Mr. Lambert.
Good morning, Mr. Berman.
Good morning, good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Dave Barrows. I'm here today representing Chemical Waste Management, which is the owner and operator of the hazardous waste disposal facility at Arlington. It is the only, quote, publicly available hazardous waste facility in Oregon or Washington, and it is the location where most manufacturers who have hazardous waste to dispose of bring their hazardous waste for proper disposal. We have worked closely with the DEQ for 30 years. They are an excellent agency to work with. They monitor our activities closely, but we have been pleased to find over this 30-year period that we have been able to work well with them and resolve problems amicably and to the satisfaction of the agency. Without getting confrontational, as seems to happen in so many other states. There was a work group put together in the interim to deal with the hazardous waste program, and a good bit of the money for that comes from fees that we collect at the gate when hazardous waste arrives at our facility. In addition to that, there's also generator fees, and you find those in Senate Bill 103, and the three pieces of the agreement were the DEQ would cut more than three people, three FTEs. They have, and their budget reflects that, in the hazardous waste program, that the waste generators, which includes my company, would pay additional fees. Mr. Ledger referenced that in his testimony. But there's also a need for some additional general fund money to complete the package, and that's the part that's not on the table, as it were, right now, and we would hope this committee would look closely at completing the package. The department is an excellent group to work with, and the reason that it's important, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, is this is a delegated program, and no one, including our company or the people who we provide services to, want to see the delegation removed by the EPA, and then we have to deal on this program with Seattle and the regional office of EPA, and we don't think that's a desirable outcome. Thank you for your time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much. Please proceed.
Chairman Devlin and members of the committee, my name is William Lambert. I am the chair of the DEQ Science Advisory Committee for Air Toxics, the Air Toxic Science Advisory Committee, or ATSAT. I served for over 2 years in this position. I'm also an associate professor in the Department of Public Health and Preventive Medicine at OHSU and a scientist in CROA, the Center for Research on Occupational and Environmental Toxicology. This morning you've heard a wide range of testimony, and I would say that while our state is blessed with very good air quality, we do have the responsibility for maintaining this air quality that we enjoy. And as our scientific knowledge has improved, as many speakers before me have mentioned, we've acquired a better appreciation of the potential health damages faced by vulnerable populations in the community. These may not be relatively evident by looking at this beautiful morning that we have, but still, even small exposures to air toxics and the criteria air pollutants that we've worried about historically still have large ramifications for the health of Oregonians. Our work is important here, and we need to adequately fund programs, and we also need to do this in a way that is not reliant on the assumption that federal funding will come through. The DEQ has been a great staff over the last 2 years, supporting the work of my committee, which is a volunteer committee of experts, and I assure you that they have put together already a priority list of the necessary programs before you. These are the things that we need to fund. The chaff has already been removed. And as you see, funding for monitoring has been requested, funding for research, communications with the public, other research to be done in terms of modeling. All these things support the work of our air toxics committee and, in general, work that we are involved with on criteria pollutants to protect the health of the public. So I ask for your sufficient funding and adequate funding as you rearrange the budget. I acknowledge the challenges before you, but I do think this is something that a broad range of Oregonians are in support of, and certainly there is good scientific evidence to support the request by the DEQ. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you both. Mr. Groner and Ms. Sears. And if you could, again, paraphrase your testimony, if you have written testimony, and limit it to 2 to 3 minutes.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I will make it within 2 minutes, having served on a debate team to several colleges. I will make it. I'll just leave my testimony with you. I represent AFSCME, but I also represent the employees, and I'll get to the heart of it quickly. We support the governor's budget, but he only put $3 million in on our clean diesel. We would, in addition, like to see a significant increase in our House Bill 2172. I'm here today to talk about the entire DEQ budget, which are my members, but I also am quite concerned, having just read the history of the cuts that are in front of me since 01 on air quality. And to make a long story short, the co-chairs have cut $1.8 million of our general fund, and we would have to shut down long-term air toxics trends in Portland and eliminate, I don't know how to say the word, but I think you would, I think, it's nephelometers. I'm a labor guy, and, you know, nephelometers is a word, some kind of measurement.
Sounds like an organizer.
Yes, it sounds like a problem for me. The thing I want to mention, and I think you're going to face a problem that I see, if you read the Portland Tribune dealing with how we're putting housing near freeways, bottom line, if you open it up to page 5, you'll notice that all of the pollutants that are hitting the public, benzene, cancer, leukemia, cancer, diesel particulates, lung cancer, butadiene, if I got it wrong, I apologize, cancer, acetaldehyde, cancer, formaldehyde, cancer. I'd only like to say that the one thing we need to do in air quality is increase our monitors, not decrease them. Please fund us at the governor's level so that we can do the job to prevent further decay of public health. For every dollar spent in this budget, we will have reduced health care costs, which we assess at about $1 billion per year. Caused by air quality problems. So we would appreciate your help on this budget and help us stop this repeated reduction over the last few years in our monitoring and our quality of air in Oregon. And we appreciate all the help you've already given us. And I'd like to thank all the people, especially Andy, who's door-to-doored with me for 3 months, and I know you saw us. And we hit about 2/3 of all legislators day and night on the Clean Air Initiative. And thank you, Mr. Chair, and Bob Russell and industry, and everyone who's helped so much on this. We appreciate all your help. Thank you.
Ms. Sears.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee and staff, for the record, my name is Holly Sears, and I am the Governmental Affairs Director for the Oregon Refuse and Recycling Association, also known as ORA. I'm here today in support of the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality and the funding that will allow DEQ to continue its work of protecting Oregon's environment. ORA members are heavily regulated, beginning at the federal level with the Resource Conservation and Recovery Act, the enforcement of which is delegated to DEQ. As such, the DEQ is the primary regulator of solid waste issues at the state level, issuing permits for and enforcing the permits of solid waste sites, as well as overseeing the implementation of solid waste and recovery programs. ORA members understand the role of the DEQ in the solid waste arena. ORA's expectation is that the DEQ will enforce solid waste laws with an even hand across the state, thereby providing certainty and a level playing field for all. As a regulated industry, ORA members are not always in agreement with the actions of DEQ. However, ORA and the DEQ have a long history of strong communication, and a sound, well-led agency benefits both Oregon's environment and Oregon's business community. The DEQ can only do its job if it receives the necessary funding from the legislature. In addition to supporting overall adequate funding of the DEQ, ORA specifically supports funding, full funding for House Bill 2172, or the Clean Diesel Bill. One of our members, Rogue Disposal and Recycling of Medford, worked with DEQ on a similar federally funded program to retrofit 9 of their diesel engine trucks with partial flow filters. The results have been outstanding, as they were able to reduce diesel emissions by 75% or more. Additionally, the bill's preference for trucks that operate primarily in Oregon guarantees that monies will be used in the most effective way possible in order to meet the goal of reducing diesel emissions in Oregon. This goal provides financial incentive for companies to do the right thing and in turn promotes the protection of the health and welfare of all Oregonians by reducing their exposure to diesel emissions and thereby reducing their risk of cancer. Proper funding of DEQ will help ensure environmental protection throughout Oregon. And thank you for this opportunity.
Mr. Saperstein and Mr. Olson, if you'd please come forward. And given the fact that we only have about 40 minutes left maximum, I'm going to have to limit people to 2 minutes. So, and then on deck will be Mr. Gallagher and Mr. Foster.
Mr. Chair, committee members, I am Ralph Saperstein. I'm here today representing the Oregon Water Quality Coalition. The coalition is a diverse group of business and community organizations that are committed to effective regulation of water quality in the state of Oregon. We support improving and protecting Oregon's water quality, and I'm here today to say that we endorse policy option package for the DEQ of 121, which is a toxic water monitoring package in the governor's budget, which we support. And for the record, the Oregon Water Quality Coalition has supported that since the governor's budget came out. Not since the co-chairs only funded half of it. We have always supported full funding for that package. And that's all I have.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. Bob Olson here today on behalf of Friends of the Columbia Gorge. I will avoid repeating the statements made by the Executive Director of the Gorge Commission, Ms. Ahrens, but we did want to underscore the importance of needing to fully fund and restore the DEQ Air Quality Division programs and implement an air quality strategy for the Columbia River Gorge. We are also concerned about the four policy packages that have been affected in the co-chair's recommendations. The Gorge-wide management plan requires the protection and enhancement of air quality and visibility and requires the states to ensure the protection and enhancement of air quality in the Gorge by adopting a strategy for regulating air pollution. I would call your attention to the summary of reports and articles that I provided to you, prepared by Mr. Lang of our organization, and I think that certainly documents the existence of serious air quality problems in the Gorge. 20 years has passed since the passage of the Scenic Air Act went into existence, and it has been difficult for DEQ to take meaningful steps to protect and enhance air quality and visibility in the Gorge because of a lack of funding. And so you have an opportunity to address that, and we support you in that endeavor. I think the final note in my a couple minutes would be to note that on a related front, we hope that Senate Bill 235 will be assigned to your subcommittee. This is a bill that brings Oregon's Clean Air Act into compliance with federal law. And in its current version, Senate Bill 235 will provide a long-term basis to significantly improve air quality for human health in the Columbia River Gorge. So we appreciate any attention to that issue that you can provide. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Gallagher and Mr. Foster.
Chair, members of the committee, my name is Tom Gallagher, representing a number of clients, including Snitcher Steel Industries. The last few years, this agency's been raising fees and shifting funds to make its programs work. I just want to say this is the most important agency to industry in the state. It's not the Economic Development Department, and it's not tax credits. It's the Department of DEQ and their permitting processes that make industry work in the state. The problem we have here in this budget, I think, is the basic problem of balance. And I've talked with all of you about this budget and what I think about this budget, and I want to get fairly specific here on the general pieces of this budget. I think this budget and the co-chair's budget is seriously out of balance. You take the revenues that you have, and you divide them among the programs and the public policies, all of whom need the funding, and that's the job of this committee and this Ways and Means Committee to make those decisions. I think you've made a basically wrong decision in what you've done with the overall budget. You've taken money out of higher education, workforce development, and natural resource budgets, and you put it in the K-12 budget. And I think you've gone too far in breaking the principle of balance here. And that's why all of the people have come up and they've talked to you about these programs. None of them have said, where should you get this money from? How should you put the money back in the DEQ budget? And I think that's part of the problem we have in the building, is that people don't come up and they don't talk about the reality of what you have to do here. You have to balance all the budgets. And the way you've done it and the way you've set this up on this budget in this term is you're going to do $9.2 million in fee increases, and John Ledger laid out very well how unbalanced this budget is in terms of fee increases. You put in $7.4 million in new monies, and you have a loss and declining loss of federal fund dollars. $20 million in this budget would have made all the difference in the world in the programs we're talking about. And what you've done is you put it all in the K-12 budget, and they say they're still $55 million short. No, you have a problem, and there's only one way to solve this problem. I don't think you're going to do it this session. This is going to be the last session that I'm going to come down to this body and support fee increases and look at the concept of polluter pays and look at point source to solve the problems that everybody's been up here talking about. This has got to be done by the general public on the general fund budget. Polluters still have to pay. They still have to pay for their programs. But if we don't bring some balance back in this budget, you're going to have serious problems over the next 2 years in DEQ. You're going to have a loss of staff, a loss of leadership, and a loss of support from the regulated industry. It's come to the end of the time here in this budget. Thank you very much for your time.
Yes, Representative Garrard.
I'm just going to ask Tom how he really feels.
Mr. Chair, Representative Garrard, I feel fairly well today.
Mr. Foster.
Good morning, Chairman, members of the committee. I appreciate the opportunity to testify today. My name is Brent Foster from Hood River County. Actually, I live in Wasco County, and I'm executive director for Columbia Riverkeeper. I would like to come up here and enthusiastically support the governor's requested budget, but I feel that would be something like saying, hooray for the Band-Aid on the bullet wound, because that's about how it feels. I work with DEQ on a regular basis. I work with a lot of the permitted people that it regulates, and I know a number of the employees. And what I can tell you is that this is an agency that is limping along. And what even the governor's budget does is pretty much gives it the ability to continue limping. At some point, and I know NEDC and other environmental groups have said, hey, it's done. We need to ask EPA to take over the program. I know Stephanie Halleck and DEQ already said we have to give up the underground injection program because we just can't do a good job at it. It hurts DEQ staff morale, and it hurts the quality of Oregon's air and water. In an October 13th, 06 memo from DEQ to Senator Bates, DEQ explained that to fully fund a monitoring budget would cost about $12.3 million. The request before you is 1.8, and I think that was about half in the co-chair's budget. That is a far way from 12.8 is what, or 12.3 is what we need to do the job. Providing even 1.8 is inadequate. That said, I'm a pragmatist, and I know you have a lot of different getting pulled in a lot of different ways, and I would just ask that you at least support the $1.8 million requested budget for the monitoring component of this. I'll also say two things. One, even though that's not a big amount of money, we don't think philosophically and practically it should just be limited to the Willamette River. Clearly, the Willamette is an important water body. It's the biggest tributary of the Columbia. It's fundamental. At the same time, though, you have the Columbia, where, frankly, a larger number of people are relying on the Columbia for subsistence fisheries, Native Americans and others who are already facing a 1 in 50 cancer risk in some spots of the Columbia, and the need to address it there is strong. I'll just conclude by saying that fully funding the monitoring component would dovetail well with Senate Bill 737. That is a compromise, I think, that surprised many of us who were part of the work group. The municipalities stepped up and did something that I haven't seen them do in the last 10 years. I think Senator Walker, George, and the other conservationists at the table all deserve a lot of credit for that. Finally, I'll just say, while the monitoring is important, there's already more than enough information that there are serious problems in both the Willamette and Columbia. Both rivers exceed numerous water quality standards. Both have extensive reports that have already, I said, people who eat fish regularly from those rivers, from DEQ and EPA, face serious increased cancer and non-cancer risk. So I appreciate your time, and thanks for considering the comments.
Thank you very much. Mr. Carpenter, looks like Carpenter. And Mr. Craven. Please proceed.
Yes, good morning, Chair Devlin and other members of the committee. I am Bill Carpenter, and I'm speaking on behalf of the Board of Directors of the Lane Regional Air Protection Agency. LRAPA regulates most air quality matters in Lane County, and it's a pleasure to provide testimony supporting DEQ's 2007 through 2009 budget. LRAPA's mission is to protect public health, community well-being, and the environment as a leader and advocate for the continuous improvement of air quality in Lane County, Oregon. The agency relies on federal, state, and local contributions for its operations. DEQ's air quality program budget includes funding to LRAPA towards meeting new federal air quality standards for particulate matter, fine particulates. As you may know, the community of Oak Ridge in Lane County has the highest levels of fine particulate pollution in the state, and it's important that we have resources to monitor and reduce those particulate emissions. DEQ's budget also provides funding for LRAPA to begin tackling air toxics issues in Lane County. The American Lung Association yesterday released its annual report on air quality nationwide. Unfortunately, in the report, two Oregon counties received F grades, and a third county received a D grade due to particulate levels monitored in those areas. In addition, Eugene Springfield was ranked the ninth worst city nationally because of air particulate levels. While this designation is misleading because of some statistical lumping, the Oak Ridge and West Fur areas together, it nevertheless demonstrates the need to continue funding local air programs. The co-chair's budget would cut funding that DEQ provides to LRAPA and several other local governments for wood stove and burning curtailment programs, the largest source of fine particulate pollution. With federal air quality standards continuing to tighten due to evidence linking air pollution concentrations to public health, okay, I'll just wrap up here. We don't need the stigma in Oregon or Lane County as being one of the most unhealthy areas in America, and we would certainly support the governor's recommended budget for DEQ's air quality program. And if you have any questions, I'm available, and also Ms. Kim Metzger, an employee of LRAPA, is also available to answer those questions. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee. Jim Craven, representing the American Electronics Association.
Two quick points that have both been mentioned, and I just want to echo them in lending our support. One, you've heard from almost everyone that's come up here about restoring the water quality monitoring package. I think it's called 121. That's the $1.8 million package that's been reduced to $1 million in the co-chair's budget. And I think it's just essential. There's a lot of people in this room and a lot of people in the building that are working on water quality issues, and I think restoring funding for that piece is critical. Number two, I really want to echo the comments of Mr. Barrows about the necessity of achieving the proper balance of funding in the hazardous waste program. It's been an incredibly successful program by DEQ. We've worked with them for 25 years on a whole host of issues. Industry pays a good hunk of that budget. We get some federal funding, and I think the key is restoring some of the general fund to the hazardous waste program. I mean, up to as much as $800,000, I'm told. But whatever amount you can do to help patch that hole, it will still mean reductions in the agency in that department. But it's a critical part of the department. We urge you to help with that also. And I will yield my minute to additional witness. Thank you very much.
Thank you both very much. Ms. Zanetta and Mr. Donovan.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, Catherine Vanatta, Northwest Pulp and Paper Association. First of all, I'd like to echo the comments of Mr. Ledger and Mr. Craven in that the Northwest Pulp and Paper Association agrees wholeheartedly with their comments. We are a major fee payer in this state, and we do support all of the fees before you today. So we are working on that. But also I'd like to, as you face your issues on what to do with the budget, offer some insight from my 12 years in this position working with the department and the multiple committees that I've sat with, working with the department about how to structure their budget to actually do the work on the ground and work with the people. The Blue Ribbon Committee took an in-depth look at the water quality program and suggested improvements that could be made to improve that, and we have been raising our fees since then to do that. I believe that we still need to support that work, and that process can be used as a model for further improvements in the department. But you've also heard today about the money that hasn't been going into the department over the last basically 12 to 14 years, and that is very true. And what has eroded in the department that hampers their work on a daily basis is infrastructure and employee training and retention. And I think those are two very interesting dynamics if I were to put my MBA hat on and talk about how do we improve the department to make sure that they can deliver the programs on the ground. And although it's not interesting, but investing in the infrastructure and investing in the employee training and retention policies in program option package 140 and in others, I believe, would stop the bleed in this agency and start to build back up. The other thing is we have a broad selection of policy option packages and different aspects of programs here that go over the whole agency. If we're going to stop the bleeding and stop adding, it would seem appropriate to start adding in all of the different programs which we approve of. From our perspective as industry, permitting is important, but I'd like to point out for the general public, orphan site cleanup policy option packages 183 and 193 that were cut in the governor's budget, for the general public of Oregon, working on making sure that orphan sites are dealt with and restoring that funding, we believe is a very important aspect that should come from general fund dollars and can improve the environment on the ground. We also are very much and have always been in support of policy option package 121 on the watershed-based toxics monitoring. And you might want to write this down. I truly do agree with Brent Foster in his support of that. So that is one that you will want to write down on that issue. Brent and I don't always disagree on everything. But as we move forward, I would ask that you look at ways to not only restore the infrastructure, improve the training, but look at ways to build the agency back up. Thank you.
We have about 20 minutes left, so I'm not going to take a great deal of time here, but I did want to remind everyone that in our process to try to restore the agency and our process to try to fund programs, our problem isn't solely declining general fund support in the last few bienniums. It's declining federal support. And I would hope that you would write your federal representatives and contact your federal representatives, because the state can only afford to backfill so much. Mr. Donovan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committees. My name is Phil Donovan. I'm here on behalf of the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservation, and I'm here to speak in support of the governor's recommended budget for the Water Quality Toxics Monitoring Program and DEQ's Stormwater Program. And I'll want to highlight, first off, as it relates to the Water Quality Toxics Monitoring, it doesn't go far enough. As you all heard, it's limited to the Willamette Basin, and we really need to look at the Columbia, but we're accepting of that as a first step. To provide some context for why we care, I want to refer to a survey that we did on fish consumption. You've heard that tribal people eat a lot more fish than the general population, but our survey shows that on the low end of the spectrum, tribal members are eating eight salmon meals a month, which for most of us in this room, that would be a lot. We've got to appreciate that some of our tribal members, we've documented, are eating up to 50 8-ounce fish meals a month. So that means that the amount of toxic pollutions that they are ingesting is greater than that of the general public. Add to the fact that a lot of our folks are out there fishing. They're exposed out literally on the water, and you can see why we care a tremendous amount about toxic pollution. The Confederated Umatilla Tribes have been a driving force in working with Oregon DEQ, the US EPA, in reevaluating how Oregon regulates water pollution. We feel it's especially important to restore funding to these critical pollution control programs, because the work of these programs informs, supports, and implements the actions that are needed. Finally, I just want to say that we were a part of the 737 work group. We think this is groundbreaking legislation. We need to act on it this legislative session. We need the better roadmap to understand persistent bioaccumulative toxins, and we appreciate the leadership of Senator Walker and Senator George, and hope that this committee will get this on your desk and we'll move it forward. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Bill.
Yes.
I'd like to add one thought to your very good thought. Write your federal legislators, certainly, but I certainly think that people ought to talk to a few key members in our own Oregon House of Representatives so we can get 36 votes in order to reform our own revenue stream and don't have to go calling on somebody outside of our own state borders in order to support our own programs.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator Rossian. Mr. Capps and Mr. Chandler.
I want to know why the two of you keep coming up together. We're going to start rumors.
That's like the third time.
I know. In my committee as well. I think you're...
Rumors started.
Yeah.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Lindsay Capps. I'm legislative director for the Oregon Environmental Council. Thank you for the opportunity to testify before you today. Oregon's environment and natural resources are, of course, critical to our economy, to our health, and our quality of life. And DEQ plays an important role in protecting these resources and making sure that all Oregonians, whether they be individuals, business, or governments, do our fair share to reduce pollution. We believe that for too long, DEQ has been underfunded and understaffed, and we fear that despite efforts to find efficiencies and streamline policies within the agency, that this trend is eroding its ability to adequately protect public health and the environment in our state. And therefore, we support, like many others who have testified today, all of the agency requests included in the governor's recommended budget, and humbly ask the committee to find modest increases from the co-chair's budget to fully fund these requests. I'll speak briefly to some of the specific air and water quality programs we think that are critically important. We support funding levels in the co-chair's budget for the Blue Ribbon Committee recommendations to enhance water quality the permit program. We support the efforts to restore water quality monitoring and TMDL implementation. But we also support the governor's request to establish a robust watershed-based toxics monitoring program. We believe this is an important opportunity, and we're concerned that in reducing funding for this program below the original request, DEQ will not be able to establish a program capable of actually monitoring. And we also believe this program will work in complement with legislation SB 737, should it be enacted by the legislature, which we think it should. We also support the agency's request for $1.5 million for the stormwater program. Stormwater, as you know, is one of the most significant sources of water pollution in Oregon today, and there's a great need to develop a more coordinated and integrated approach at DEQ for managing this issue. Lastly, I'll talk a little bit about air quality. Of all the environmental risks that Oregonians are exposed to, air pollution is the hardest to avoid. A particular concern is in Oregon are toxic emissions such as diesel and benzene. And the cost to Oregonians from these public health and environmental impacts are in the billions of dollars per year. And we believe resources are needed to restore staff positions to monitor and reduce air toxics, prevent health risks and from soot and smog, implement the clean car standards, and establish a clean diesel program. And therefore, we support the $1.8 million request for dealing with the toxic impacts of air pollution, the $2.3 million for meeting federal air quality health standards, and providing the necessary funding for the clean diesel program. And I would say, just in closing, that those small investments pale in comparison to the costs that we as a society bear that these programs are focused squarely on addressing. So thank you for the time, Mr. Chairman of the committee.
Mr. Chandler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Tom Chandler, Oregon Home Builders Association, official sidekick to OEC, apparently, in the natural resource hearings. Here, speaking specifically on the policy option package 122, but on the general budget, I'd like to echo some of the comments that were made. You really do need to go with the governor's recommended. This agency has gone well beyond what has been asked of any other agency. The management of this agency is dramatically improved over the last 10 years. The responsibility of this agency has improved over the last 10 years. Its outreach to stakeholders, both industry and environmentalists, cannot be any place in the country that I'm aware of. We spent a year and a half, over almost 2 years, on the Blue Ribbon package you've heard about. Had industry around the table, had environmentalists around the table, had the agency there. A lot of recommendations and good, hard thinking. I was a participant. We met on a monthly basis. All of us took it very seriously. And what's in front of you is the outgrowth of that package. And this legislature asked the agency to go do that, go be responsible. And with all due respect, I believe you should honor that. They did. They did what you asked them to. They brought back a package. This funding is probably the bare minimum they need to implement that package at a 60-40 general fund or fee to general fund split. If I can be so bold, Mr. Chairman and members, it would be irresponsible for you not to credit what they did. That was an obligation. They took on and performed it. They brought it back to you. Well done. I think it needs to be funded as the governor's budget recommended. I understand the problems of the budget. This shouldn't be one of them. With regard to 122 specifically, one of the earlier testifiers talked about industry not stepping up. I just want to point out that under Policy Action Package 122, construction industry is stepping up to a doubling of our fees. We don't like that. We're not thrilled about it. We'll do it because we believe it's in the best interest of the state, best interest of our industry long term. The agency has put on the table, as have we, additional training, certification programs, things like that, so that developers and consultants know how to manage stormwater better. We can't do it unless this package is funded, because the fee split to maintain, if the general fund is cut, by the time you figure the math on the fee split to keep the 60-40, more FTE are lost. And at some point, the lines cross and the program is no longer implementable at the level that we had all talked about and the level that needs to be done to be sustainable. And frankly, our support may erode, because we signed up for a package. We'll pay our piece. I guess what I'm here asking you to do is make sure the state of Oregon pays its piece.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. We have 5 left, and we have 10 minutes. Ms. Rich and Mr. Tiffany. And while they're coming up, one is with special districts, one's with the League of Oregon Cities. AOC's not here, but I'm sure, being our local partners, they would assure us that the state always fulfills every commitment that is made. Mr. Tiffany.
Chair Devlin, members of the committee, my name is Amanda Rich, and I'm here today representing the Special Districts Association of Oregon. I also represent the Oregon Association of Water Utilities, and as such, I represent hundreds of agencies across the state whose daily responsibility it is to provide safe drinking water to the public, and also to take the storm water and take wastewater and try to make it as clean as possible before it enters the environment. And as that is our responsibility, it is very hard to choose parts of this budget that are more important than the other. As hokey as it may sound, it is all connected, air, land, and water. And but, again, being a pragmatist and understanding our role here in trying to help you with this process, I would say that most important to us in this budget is a restoration of the governor's recommended budget in Policy Action Package 122, the stormwater package. Also, a restoration of the toxics monitoring package 121, which we believe dovetails quite nicely with Senate Bill 737 that we have worked very, very hard and have come to the table, and my agencies have stepped up to charge themselves to fund an important program that you'll see in 737, and we look forward to talking to you about that further when it comes before you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Willie Tiffany with the League of Oregon Cities. I agree with everything Ms. Rich just said, so I'll just focus. Again, we support Package 122, the Stormwater Control Package, and more importantly, I think Package 121, fully funding the Governor's recommended budget for the Toxics Monitoring Program. With respect to 737, I agree with what Ms. Rich said. I do want to clarify for the record on earlier testimony from Associated Oregon Industries, this bill has no end-of-pipe standards. In fact, what this bill does is focus on source protection and source prevention of toxics. We think that's the most efficient and effective way to deal with the issue, and that's why we think in a not fully funded toxics monitoring program, as Ms. Onan testified on Monday, would be a framework for a program with no actual monitoring. We think it dovetails real nicely with 737, where these reduction plans will come in 2011. If you fully fund the toxics monitoring program, you have the infrastructure and information in place, at least in the Willamette Basin, to judge and test the effectiveness of those programs. We urge your support of those two policy option packages. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
We have three parties left, Mr. Dewey, Ms. Adato, and Mr. Mason. If you all three could come up and
time is on the floor. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Briefly, Mike Dewey, representing Waste Management of Oregon. We operate two solid waste landfills in Oregon under the jurisdiction of DEQ. With regard to the performance standards that you are looking at as to all agencies, we think this agency is a very efficient, well-run agency. Clearly, others have made the case for additional dollars. A couple observations. One, we have historically supported the increase in fees in order to run our landfills, and we found that we can work very well with DEQ. Also, very interestingly, I'll just make a quick comment. Denny Jones chaired this committee a number of years ago, and I asked him, what was your plan? And he said, well, my last budget is DEQ because I'm going to take some general fund money out of DEQ. And I said, Denny, there isn't any left. And he was surprised by that. And you're in that same situation. We think you ought to take a look at some additional general fund money. Having said that, I say the next thing with a little bit of trepidation. I say this because there's some discussion about taking solid waste tipping fees, a balance, and orphan fund fees to fund other programs. We would, in the solid waste industry, vehemently oppose that. I say it with trepidation because I bring it out. I could not say anything here, but it was discussed previously with people, so I put that on the table for you. So with that, Mr. Chair, that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, Madam Vice Chair and Committee, thank you for allowing me to testify. I'm Lisa Adato from the Oregon Business Association. And the Oregon Business Association is a statewide group made up of not one particular industry, but a wide variety of industries. We have farmers, lawyers, manufacturers, tiny businesses, large businesses from around the state. So we're not here to represent a particular interest. And therefore, we don't want to micromanage the DEQ or even pick and choose among programs. But I do want to let you know that there is very deep concern in general among the business community, as you've heard today, about this cut. We know that the DEQ doesn't have the same level of constituency as maybe education or healthcare. You might not see rallies on the steps, but there's a deep-seated concern. A couple of points. One is that there was a business summit representing businesses around the state, and at that summit we chose sustainability as a competitive advantage for Oregon, and there's enormous amounts of things that Oregonians are doing to raise this issue. It's ironic if we can't do the basics, which is what the DEQ represents, basic quality monitoring for air and water, basic compliance monitoring. Those things are really important. And also, I would like to make a couple of final points. One is the business community has stepped up to the plate remarkably in time and in money in terms of supporting the DEQ, and the OBA is working very hard to give back corporate funds. We and other business leaders have supported giving back the corporate kicker. We'd like to do that permanently. We've worked hard for this kicker. We are also working hard to increase the corporate minimum tax. So the business community is doing its part to make the state of Oregon work, and we'd like to see this agency supported. It's a very high priority. And finally, we support the whole package. We would like to make a little plug for the Clean Diesel Program. It's an innovative new program and has a huge leveraged impact on the quality of our environment. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Mason.
Thank you, Chair Devlin, and members of the subcommittee. My name is Michael Mason. I'm here for the Confederated Tribes of the Warm Springs Reservation of Oregon, and I'd like to support strongly the testimony of Phil Donovan for the Confederated Tribes of the Umatilla Indian Reservations. I don't need to repeat how much fish Warm Springs tribal members are eating, but what used to be something that was just completely to their benefit and to their good health now causes them a deep concern, and a lot of that because of heavy metals, persistent bioaccumulative toxins. So again, as many have testified, we would support the governor's budget, particularly on the watershed-based toxics monitoring program, and making sure that some of this money, well, some of this would, but the focus not just be on the Willamette, because the fish most of us are eating is in the Columbia. So thank you, and appreciate the time.
Thank you. With that, we will close both of our hearings on 5022 and 5023. Tomorrow, we will have a work session on the Department of Agriculture. And then next week, we will be going to the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife. With that, we are adjourned.